1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And verse 11, ready? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And verse 13, ready? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And verse 15, ready? Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And verse 17, ready? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Father.
Oh, I tell you, I'm just so glad I'm saved tonight. And I tell you, I drove by in the Rio packed out, and I thought, how dumb. People searching for what can be found in a black book, a brown book, a little red book. It has no pictures in it, just the wonderful story. And isn't it amazing how that rock stars will come and go, but just getting up preaching the book week after week still gets the job done. Now tonight, I want you to look with me, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says, and I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions. Or we might use the word schisms, that there be no divisions or schisms or divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that means that college students don't criticize the professors at the college. It means academy students don't criticize the principal and the teachers in the academy. It means that staff members don't criticize other staff members. It means you don't get on a bus coming back from a bus route and chop up the leader, chop him up, spit him out. Anybody ever hears that happening, you come to me, you let me know about it. I promise you, I'll take the folks to the woodshed and we'll beat the devil out of them. Now we'll do it for the glory of God, but we will beat the devil out of them. No, we'll not beat anybody, but I'll tell you one thing. You wish that the preacher had beat you when the Lord gets a hold of you. And so, verse 11, sit still. You're guilty. You got caught. You might as well admit it. Ain't no sense getting mad about it, moving your membership to the Southern Baptist Church. Just sit there. Verse 11, by the way, if you want to go to the Southern Baptist Church, just hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Verse 11, a pussyfooter, he'd get up this morning. He wouldn't tell you what your sins were and what you were doing wrong. Get on down there. Just hightail it. Get on out. But if we came here to do a job, we didn't come here to fool around. And if you don't like it, you can bump it, rump it, jump it, or bump it, or any way you want to do it, but just do it quick, because we got a job to do. I'm going to run some buses, get some boys and girls saved. You don't like blacks, get out of here. Just get out of here. Just go on. Just go on. You don't like Spanish getting saved, just go on. You don't like Arkansas people getting saved, just stay. Pumpkin. Verse 11, you know, he's beginning to even look like a little pumpkin. Verse 11, the Bible says, for it hath been declared unto you, to me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. You know what? Paul didn't know firsthand about this, really. Huh? Well, I don't think y'all say something if it's not true. Paul said about fornication, he said it's commonly reported. He didn't even have a firsthand account. Buddy, you better be careful, because it always has a way of getting back to somebody when you shoot your mouth off and criticize somebody. Did you know that? Probably a little bird just flits out. The book of Ecclesiastes says, just flies on in and sits down in the room and tells the preacher what happened. Verse 12, here's what you're thinking. Who told him? Son, by the time I get through this message, you ain't going to be worried about who told me. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you. Can't you see him saying it? Huh? Huh? I thank God I baptized none of you reprobates. Now, the word reprobates is in the Greek there somewhere. But Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Don't blame me for this mess you got down at Corinth. Don't you blame me for it. All right, well, look, he said in verse 16, I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Hello, Church of Christ. Hello, cult. Paul said, look at it, it's there in the book, man. I don't print it, I just preach it. The Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Why don't the Church of Christ put that out on their little shingle out in front of the highway as it fly by? Why don't they quote that verse? He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I guess maybe there's a difference. Wake up. I guess maybe there's a difference between preaching the gospel and baptizing. Heard this morning about a lady in this visiting here for a while. She didn't like it because it got too hot. So she decided she'd visit some other church. Well, I backslid, I'd visit around too. But you better thank God. A preacher's got the guts to throw songbooks at you and walk on the pew and foam at the mouth and tell you when you're not doing right. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of a prognosis for schisms. A prognosis for schisms. There's an awful disease going around now. It's not near as deadly as AIDS, but it's pretty deadly. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't hear about this disease called schisms. And they want to know how to cure schisms. A preacher calls and he says, I've got a division in my church. That's what schisms are. And what can I do about the division in my church? So after about 5 weeks of talking to five different pastors, I sat down, and as I was going through the Bible, I've discovered a prognosis for schisms. So I want to talk to you about that tonight for about 6 hours on the subject. Don't look at your watch, sweetheart. I will stay here 6 hours. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, please make the Bible live tonight. And dear Lord, if there's surgery to be done, then I pray you'd do it. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd do the anesthesia, please, that you'll comfort. I pray you just work on the patient's heart. And I pray, dear God, as surgery is done, that the people not get mad and not get mad and go off half-cocked and run down the road somewhere and get themselves in trouble, but may they face their sin. And I, now, Lord, I don't know tonight, and you know this is true. I do not know of any division in this church. I don't know of any plans for a division. I have no idea if there is. I'm certainly ignorant of it. But, dear God, I think it sure does help to use some preventative medicine to keep us from catching this disease. So Holy Spirit, help us now make the Bible live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Corinth was a principal city of Greece. Corinth had two major ports on opposite ends of the city, from where they traded to Italy and to Asia, and where great wealth would come into the city and out of the city. Corinth was known as a great place of wealth and trade. Corinth was famous for wealth, arts, and also became infamous for its awful sin. Yet in this lewd, loose, and luxurious city, Paul was used of God to raise up a church chiefly among the Gentiles. Sometime after Paul left, he wrote this epistle to the church at Corinth. Paul had hoped to nourish that which was already planted and to pull the weeds of compromise and conflict away so that growth could occur. Paul charged the folks with pride, avarice, luxury, and lust. Their pride discovered itself in their parties and factions. This sin was fed by their wealth and their intellectualism. Now you listen to me. We're not going to win maybe the rich people in town. But any pastor in any church that goes after the doctors and the lawyers and the rich people can't find a verse in the Bible where that you go after them. If they cross you, get them with the gospel gun. They walk across your path, let them have it. But it ought to be while you're on the way to get the poor little kid that nobody cares about, going across town, getting the black little kid nobody cares about, going across the tracks to the shacks in town that nobody cares about, and if the rich fella gets in your way, cut him down with the gospel. But God called us to get the poor. That's part of the commission to the church. It's there. We're supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Now, find that their wealth and their intellectualism, and by the way, it always destroys a denomination, a church, It always destroys. That's why you got Dr. Messemup and Dr. Broadbottom, Dr. Big Shot down at Baylor University telling everybody the virgin birth is not true. That's a lie. Oh, fire that rascal and get him out of the college. Their avarice was manifested in their lawsuits before heathen judges. Their luxury was evident in their dress. And their misuse of the Lord's table, it was obvious. Their lust was exposed when Paul discovered that a man had an adulterous relationship with his father's wife. Obviously, because of Paul's pointed preaching against fornication, there must have been a lot of problems that involved sexual sins in this church at Corinth. The apostle sets himself to reprimand and to correct with all wisdom and faithfulness and with a mixture of tenderness and authority. The tragic sins of the church at Corinth were exposed. The tragedy of backsliding, ladies and gentlemen, is not the sins committed, but the Great Commission being omitted. The tragedy of a ship that sinks while on course to its destination is the fact that the cargo never made it to shore. That's the great tragedy. It's tragic when churches sin and backslide. It's tragic when Christians sin and backslide. And can I just pull over and park? The devil's a liar tonight. And all he wants to do is to split you husbands and wives up tonight and get you to chasing around some woman, chasing around some man, ruining those precious little boys and girls that look up to you as mom and dad in God's dear name. Can't you see tonight that the devil's a liar? He's a liar. Somebody say amen. He's a liar. So sick and tired of having to put together the dirty, rotten pieces that the devil has destroyed and trying to help the kids. You listen to me tonight. Some of you men, grow up. Some of you women, grow up tonight. God loves you. Quit following the devil. It's tragic when churches sin and backslide. It's tragic when Christians sin and backslide. But the real tragedy is that the cargo of salvation never gets delivered to the shore filled with sinners. We think backsliding's getting drunk, and it is a sin to get drunk. But backsliding is not getting the gospel to the shore where the sinners are. Better wake up! Hey, wake up! It's not funny. Now you make yourself stay awake. The tragedy is that people are dying. You know what really burns me up? I feel like that we had 1,400 people here, and half you folks don't even give a rip. What burns me up tonight? It burns me up that you come and fill 18 inches of pew up in this church and a handful of people will bust their necks trying to keep people out of hell, and you never lift a finger to keep people out of hell. By the way, that's what happened when Brother Terry Smith pastored this church too. Yes, sir. That may be the reason he's in Richardson, not here tonight. The church at Corinth is our patient tonight. She's afflicted with the disease of schisms. She's a very sickly patient. Oh, she pretends to be healthy. She whistles and sings lively melodies. She's using the world's dresses to cover up her illness. She parties a lot to give the appearance of health. She has a lot of fellowship parties. In fact, that last Lord's Supper bash was a real dandy that they had. She wears her hair like the world. She wants to hold on to the youth by allowing hand-holding and necking and petting and like barnyard animals in some lonely street somewhere. She even ignores an insignificant affair of her prominent man because he's the biggest giver in the church. After all, she doesn't want outsiders to know that she's ill and has schisms, yet she remains sickly and unable to bear any children. She uses loud music to convince everyone she's healthy, wealthy, and wise. She paints up her face that looks like a two-bit prostitute on the streets in order to put on a front of health. She caters to the music of her day. She caters to the dress of her day. She caters to the situation ethics of her day. Yet she's still so sickly that she's unable to bear any children. As I check her blood pressure, it always rises when the Apostle Paul is mentioned. As I monitor her pulse rate, it begins to quicken. Someone mentions, next week, we have a preacher by the name of Paul that's going to be preaching in our pulpit. The patient seems to be quite nervous. She's putting on a good front, but in reality, she's not well. Now, by the way, this is where you always end up. You end up putting on a good front
and yet sickness prevails inwardly, and you're unable to bear children. Now let's look at the patient. Let me give you first a diagnosis of schism. Then I'll give you the prognosis. But let me give you the diagnosis. Here's what I see when I look at the patients. Number one, I see clicks. I see clicks. I see clicks. I see clicks. If you spend too much time with a select group of people in the church, you're liable to catch this disease called schisms. Schisms are transmitted by coming in contact with a mouth that is open and a rapid movement up and down of the jawbone with a rapid and consistent motion of the muscle called the tongue. If one spends too much time and is exposed to the one affected and impacted by schisms, for even a short period of time, the disease will enter the ear and immediately begin to infect the heart. The heart transmits the disease to the mouth, and then the infected person begins to have the same rapid motion of the jawbone. Now, there are known carriers of this disease, of schisms, and they don't seem to die from this disease, but they always seem to infect others who become casualties and die. I'm so mad tonight. Brother, I'm telling you, some of you loud-mouthed women in this church, if you don't shut your mouth, I will call your name from this platform, and you will shut your mouth, or I'm going to shut it for you. You men that are married to these big mouth women in God's dear name, get them off in a corner somewhere, look them square in the eyeball, and say, honey, shut your mouth. I'd suggest that you not do it as harshly as I did, because she's liable to beat the devil out of you if you do. And if you want to do it scripturally, look in her mouth and say, shut us thou mouth. But the truth is, tonight, we have people in this church who are cutting down the leaders that are over them and cutting down the pastor. Oh, no, you wouldn't dare come after me. No, you wouldn't dare come after me. You come after Brother Shirley. Somebody say amen. No, you wouldn't dare come after me. But you wouldn't mind saying something about somebody else. And now a college student breaks down and cries and says, what's wrong with so-and-so? Why are they talking about so-and-so? I'm telling you, college student, tonight, why they're doing it, they've got the disease called schism. And buddy, they've got enough sense to realize that the Church of Jesus Christ has got to be one body heading in the same direction, giving the same message, trying to keep people out of hell. And honey, if you don't like it, get on out. Schisms. These carriers always infect others, but they always seem to hang around while the others fall out. They always seem to be right back in their seat, in their pew, shooting their mouth off, trying to pick somebody else off. But I remember a reprobate that was here, and we had our split, and that guy hung around till he picked off the last couple he could get. And then that buzzard bait, he hit the road. Man, it just burns me up. Look, if you're not doing anything to get 101 people in the water, in God's dear name, at least support the people that are doing it. Clicks divert folks. Clicks divide folks. Clicks destroy folks. Clicks damage folks. Clicks diminish folks. Clicks discourage folks. Clicks detour folks. Clicks deaden folks. Clicks devour folks. Clicks deprive folks. And clicks disease folks. I'm saying tonight, listen to me, brother, in God's dear name, let's stand together and let's fight this battle together to keep people out of hell. Clicks. If you're too good to have somebody else come to your house and eat dinner with you, you've got a click started. Now, in every church, there's a natural drawing of certain people in a church. There's a natural social economic circle that can be drawn, that there's a natural draw. And you're naturally attracted to certain people in the church. And I'm not against you having friends in the church, but buddy, when it turns into cliques, and they're the only people you speak to, and they're the only people you'd ever have over at the house, and they're the only people that you'd ever take time with, buddy, you ain't right with God. I mean, everybody in this church has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Man, you shouldn't be afraid to have them over to your house. I had Brother Anthony at my place. See, come on in, bro. Now I got 13 houses for sale in my street, and I'm buying every one of them up. You can make money off this thing, you do it right. Now's the second thing here. Not only clicks, but let's look at the patient and let me give you a diagnosis. Not only clicks, but number two, it looks like that the patient's carnal. As I look at the patient, I think she's carnal. I mean, I've looked her over and talked about, I believe she's carnal. I believe I see some yellow stains in her finger coming from cigarettes. I believe I smell something on her breath. I believe it's liquor. I believe as I found her in a room, she had some cards laying alongside the bed. I believe she had a dirty magazine over off the side. Now, as I look at the patient, I see that she's carnal. Another symptom of schisms is the symptom of carnality. Some believe that the folks who have cliques develop carnality. They begin to justify their sin by the sin of so-and-so. They begin to reason their way to carnal acts by using the standard of the brethren instead of the standard of the book. The carnal infection is a serious infection. This poison breaks down the resistance. This poison breaks down our immunity. This poison breaks down our immunity to an attack of Hollywood. And all of a sudden the immunity is gone and Hollywood is so attractive to us. Now instead of reading our Bible, we turn on the television set and get a home box office movie. This poison seems to break down our immunity. Our immunity to an attack of starlets out of Hollywood. An attack of Johnny Carson seems to come because the immunity is gone. An attack of Love Boat. An attack of Dynasty. An attack of Falcon Crest. So how do you know the names of all of these? Brother Smith told me all about all of these shows. An attack of As the Stomach Turns. An attack of The Edge of Night. An attack of The Love of Life. An attack of The Doctor seems to come along when the cause is patient is carnal. The carnality infection broke down the resistance. And you let your daughter date a lost boy. This carnality infection breaks down the resistance. And you let give the cars to your teenagers so they can get alone in the car. This carnal infection breaks down the resistance and you let your teenagers listen to punk rock music. And I'll say it again, Michael Jackson's straight out of hell, buddy. Straight out of hell, yes he is. And I'll tell you, the Boss and the Prince and the rest of that garbage was spawned in hell, and somebody ought to get up and preach against it. Carnal Christians are a disgrace to God Almighty. They want Jesus in the world, so they turn to Amy Grant's music. They want Jesus in the world, so they buy music by the Imperials. They want Jesus in the world, so they buy music by the Oak Ridge Boys. They want Jesus in the world, so they buy music by the Blackwood Brothers. I'm just looking for the whites of your eyeballs. They want Jesus in the world, so they buy music by Amy Grant. Look at me. I'm telling you tonight that the body, the disease of schisms, killing the body. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't stay away from that stuff just because I want people to look at me and say, well, he's a preacher. He ought to stay away from that. No, I stay away from it because I want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ with my life. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, and I'm not trying to stir up trouble, and I'm not trying to cause trouble. But God knows somebody along this circuit traveling this country is going to have to get back into these churches and get off of this teaching stuff and get in trying to get everybody deep in the Word. But you don't get any deeper than soul winning. You don't get any deeper than running buses picking up 1,400 kids. Brother, you don't get any deeper than getting 56 saved at one time and 60 saved at another time. You don't get any deeper than that. That's deep, buddy. That's deep. Hey! Listen to me. Hey! Look at me. Quit your talking. Number three, I see something else as I look at this patient. Boss, she don't look good. Oh, she's painted up. Looks like she's got two black eyes. Looks like she's painted for war. Boss, she's singing some lively music, but the blood pressure's not good. And she doesn't look good, and the pulse rate's not good. Oh, she sings her sevenfold amen. And she has her ritualistic service. And I noticed that when they have the service that the preacher never does raise his voice. And I noticed this guy's wearing his robe. He forgot to take it off. And I noticed they quit right at noon. I I notice all her men have mustaches. How many think you ought to shave it? Let's see your hand. And I notice that their men always say amen at the wrong time. I notice that about this. And they always marry when they're 60 and 65 and have a kid. But I notice something else about this patient. Number three, I notice she has a caste system. A caste system. I notice the cliques. I notice the carnal condition. But now, I notice the caste system. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the issue's not black and white. The issue's heaven or hell. The issue's not brown and white. The issue's heaven or hell. The issue's not rich or poor. The issue's heaven or hell. The issue's not north side of town versus the south side of town. The issue's heaven or hell. Man, if the white banker won't listen to you, get the janitor that sweeps out the bank. Somebody say amen. But I'm telling you, I'm tired. The visitors come here. We had this morning. And I don't know what they're expecting. But boy, they come in here with the tuxedos on, sitting down the first time they ever visit. I don't know what they expected. I don't know. This country wasn't based on a white tuxedo, black tuxedo type of religion, ritualistic. No, sir. It's based on old-fashioned hellfire, damnation preaching. That's what it was based on. You take old John Wesley and turn him loose in a Methodist church, buddy, they'd boot him out before sundown. Hello? You take old Martin Luther, by the way, the words penned in that song, Martin Luther penned some of those phrases in that song. You take old Martin Luther, put him in the average Lutheran church, buddy, they'd fire that dude. Till I'm getting worldly, I said, dude. You take John the Baptist, turn him loose on the first brick church. Yeah. Turn him loose! Turn him loose! The first place, I wouldn't like the way he's dressed. The second place, I believe, volume would have brought blood from the ears. In the third place, I believe it had picked out Herod sitting in the congregation. Come on. I believe it would have pointed his bony finger in his face and said, "You're not right with God." About this time, I love to tell this story. A fellow staggered into the first Buick church. The preacher said, "Got one of the deacons," said, "ship him out of here," said, "he's not our kind." "Where do we take him?" "Take him down to Gray's church." And he laughed and he snickered and he said, "That's the kind that he takes." So they brought a deacon from this church, brought that man to this property and unloaded him out here at the front door. Told an usher he needed to talk to the pastor. The usher gave me the note before I came in to preach. I said, "I can't see him now. I'll see him after the service." I preached that Sunday morning. That man stepped out and walked down to the front and got on his knees, and one of our workers went over and led him to Jesus Christ. He got born again. He got up and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I don't need to see you now." He said, "All I wanted was get this burden off my soul." He's in the roll-off homes now. And I hope to God he comes back to Longview. And I hope he starts a church from scratch. And I hope he builds the biggest thing that's ever been built in this three counties. God doesn't care what you look like. God doesn't care where you come from. God just cares about you. Caste system burns me up. I see some of you folks, you won't shake hands with certain people. You stinking reprobate. You ain't right with God. Say, "Well, I don't think they smell right." Well, I got news for you, Buster. You don't smell so hot yourself. I know I dead sure don't right now. And if you've been out soul winning for 2.5 hours this afternoon, you wouldn't smell so good either. Caste system. I was in a church in Mississippi preaching, and a man walked up to me, and he said, "Dr. Gray," he said, "I'm a man of some means." He said, "I've been in this church now for 10 years. And," he said, "our pastor has a fourth or fifth grade education. Now, don't get me wrong," he said, "he's a good man. But, buddy, when they get in that billy goat religion, but," he said, "see that man over there?" And I said, "Yes." "That man's an ex-convict." And he said, the pastor doesn't know." And he said, "You being the man that you are," he said, "you'd understand. You just cannot allow things like this to happen." And he said, "I want you to talk to the pastor because he doesn't have much education. And he doesn't understand what a disgrace it is as I meet my businessmen and fellow business partners. What are they going to think? next convict in our church. And I said, I'd be glad to talk to the pastor. And he said, I thought you'd see it my way. And I said, no, sir, I don't see it your way. I'm just going to tell the pastor what a stinking backstabber you really are. And I said, the difference between that ex-convict and you is that he got caught and you didn't. Say amen now. The caste system. It bothers me that some of you won't shake Steve Miller's hand because he's an ex-wrestler. I'm just telling you. Bothers me. Now, he ain't griped about it. He ain't said nothing about it. But I can tell when a man's hurt. If I could take you to the woodshed, buddy, I'd pan some hide. I'll say it again. I'd pan some hide. Everybody knows his world is a devil. Everybody knows that. That bothers me. Some of you won't shake Darrell Bowie's hand. That bothers me. I'm going to tell you, it bothers me. He'd squeeze you down to a little white tennis ball. And he'd go out and get a black racket and play you all over a black court. Why, you honky, you. You white honky, you. You're not right with God. By the way, if you don't like this preacher tonight, just come to my office. Steve and Durrell will be there. And if you want to fight, I'll meet you out in the parking lot. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, start without me. Number four. Boy, as I look at this patient, I see something I don't like. Oh, she looks good, and she looks real good on a network television program, and she wiggles, but that doesn't mean there's life there. She's painted up, but that doesn't mean she can go to war. Number four, I see something that really, really breaks my heart. Look at verse 12, 13, and 14. Now this I say, that every one of you, he didn't say most of you. He said that every one of you, see where this disease of schisms goes to? If it's not cut out, it goes to everyone. Do you wonder why there's churches all over America running 50 and 60 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 40, 50 and 60, can't get a holy grunt out of anybody, can't get anybody down the aisle, can't get anybody to run a bus, can't get anybody to get off? Why? Because every one of them is infected with the disease of schism. They're all over America. Buddy, that's a shame. That's a shame. And I see something I don't like. It says, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Boy, this is touchy territory, and I know this is taped, and I know it's going to go across the country, and I know a lot of people are going to get this taped, but I've got to say it. Nobody else is going to say it. I might as well say it. I'm not getting any invitation to the national platform. I didn't rip my britches a long time ago. Number four, celebrities. Buddy, I see disease creeping into the body. And the disease, because some said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I'm of Terry Smith. Some said, I'm of Larry Webb. Some said, I'm of Bob Gray. So what happens is, you get to this point when celebrities become more important and prominent than Jesus Christ does. And I'm telling you, this nation and fundamentalism, as you know it tonight, she's dying. And she's dying because we march them out like a Hollywood star. started, and we march them out like Hollywood stars. And the truth is, Jesus Christ is not being uplifted anymore. And it's Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. It's time we got back to Christ. Sat on the platform, the pastor got up and said, folks, we're privileged and honored tonight to have Dr. Bob Gray. He is one of the up-and-coming great preachers in America. After the service was over with, and the brother said, how did it go tonight? And I said, fine. He said, is there anything you see that needs to be corrected? I began to weep. And I said, yes, sir. I said, please don't ever introduce a man in your pulpit as one of the great preachers. Because, my dear friend, but by the grace of God, every one of us have been in a drunk tank tonight. I literally shake when I'm sitting on a platform and somebody says something like that. Ladies and gentlemen, please, it's not the man that's to get the glory. It's Jesus Christ that's to get the glory. Then all of a sudden, we see celebrities start to fall. We see sin begin to come. Then people bail ship and don't serve God because some celebrity fell. May I say to you tonight, it shouldn't shock you if somebody falls into sin, because you're just as capable of falling into sin. Please don't get me wrong tonight. I love Dr. House, but Dr. House has no business being a celebrity. I love Dr. Lee Robertson, but Dr. Lee Robertson will be the first one to tell you he doesn't want to be a celebrity. I love Dr. Curtis Hudson and these great men, but I tell you something, they're not great men. They're just men. And one of the things that's causing the schisms to grow is because of celebrities. Can I say this without, I'm not in anybody's camp.
I can't even play that.
I'm not in anybody's camp. Because nobody wants me. But I'm really not. And so because of celebrities, guess what we have now? We have people who don't like Curtis Hudson because of Jerry Falwell. And we have people that don't like Jack House because of Jerry Falwell. Now, folks, you're here the first tonight. They ain't nobody, the church this size, ever get up and preach this and put it on tape and mail it out. If there was any hope of a national platform, it just went tonight. But I'd rather preach the truth of the hair-lipped every dog in the county and hold up Jesus Christ. I don't care. Who doesn't like it? Guy called me and he said, your name came up for a national meeting. He said, but they can't have you. You're a rabble-rouser. I'm not in Jerry Falwell's camp. But I'm not in Jack Hyle's camp either. Don't get mad at me now. I'm not in Lee Robertson's camp. I'm not in John Rawlins' camp. I'm in God's camp. Breathe normal, you'll be all right. I don't know when God made Bob Gray. I think he just may have goofed. I don't know. But I believe what I believe. Big preacher got up. Big name preacher. I preached with him on the platform. He said, I'll tell you that there's no difference between adultery and gluttony. Gluttony. Adultery. Well, the winners are sitting at the table, and I was sitting there, and I was minding my own business. And I said, Doctor, I'd rather have my teenage daughter to be fat than pregnant any day. Come on. And by the way, I've succeeded, too. I'm just kidding now. Which way are y'all going? Number five, moving along quickly. I see something else in this diagnosis. I look at the patient and her eyes are trying to glitter, but they sure look awful dead. But I see something else in this diagnosis. Number five, I see the word change. I see Paul winning them to Christ and baptizing them, starting a church and teaching them how to live. I see him coming back and finding them living a different way than what they were taught. I see change. As I go into pulpits that I'd been in 5 years ago, I see change. I see the preacher with a pretty little hairdo. And I'm sure he had to sit under or go to a saloon to get it. I wouldn't be caught dead with my head underneath one of those bubble machines, trying to get a perm. Next thing you know, you'll be painting your nails. Change. The music's no longer reaching the heart, it's reaching the foot. I first came here, Brother Kip, you remember, question and answer session. Nobody even asked me if I was saved. I've got the tape. Not one question about, am I saved? Not one question about my call to preach. Not one. Not one. Not one. The only sensible question in the whole cotton-picking place was this guy right here. He stood up and said, has God called you here? The only sensible question anybody asked. 3 out of 4 questions were this. What do you think about pants on women? Here was my reply. My wife doesn't wear them and my daughters don't wear them. But it wasn't always that way at this church. And you old heads know what I'm talking about. Because, buddy, this church was built on a foundation of old-fashioned, hellfire, damnation preaching. Why, Brother Terry was crazy. He put an ad in the paper and said, come Sunday night and hear why I hate hippies. I saw it with my own eyes. Buddy, that took guts. And he's so skinny, he didn't have any. My hat's off to that. Change. The house was preaching in Colorado. No, New Mexico. Preached his heart out, and the preacher stood up and said, I want you to know, I've been pastor of this church for 25 years, and I don't believe a thing Brother Howe's preached tonight. Brother Howe's been going to that church for 20 years. People began to stand and literally holler at the pastor. Brother Howe's had to go to the platform and calm the people down and said, folks, please, I didn't come here to cause trouble. I did not know that the pastor did not believe the way that I believe. I'll not be coming back, but I want you to know that you ought to love him and follow him. Please, let's be Christians. Change. I see big-name preachers committing adultery and no church firing them. I see deacon boards that do not tell the next church when a preacher's guilty of adultery, and somebody ought to tell them. Change. I don't know what happened, but in the 70s when I woke up, I woke up to the height of fundamentalism. Buddy, let me tell you something. I loved everything I saw about John Rice. I loved it. First time I ever heard it. He stood up and he said, how many of you take the newspaper? He said, how many of you take the sword of the Lord? Just a few hands went up. He said, what's the matter, you dumb bunnies? He said, you'd rather read more about whores on the streets of Hollywood than you would about Jesus. He said, whore. My mouth dropped. I couldn't believe it. And that preacher got, he'd mumble through his words. You'd have to listen real hard, but boy, what I heard, man, it burned the ears, the hair right out of my ear. And he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't stop. You know, he just get up and say, like this, well, you don't like it, that's too bad, you're a dumb bunny. Don't want to go sowing, you ain't right with God. Said, you preachers out there, they're not going sowing, you're not right with God. I don't care who you are, Dr. Mess 'em Up, Dr. Big Bottom, I don't care who you are. You're not right with God. You head to these colleges, what's the matter with you, don't win souls?
Take a drink of water, and there's holes all over. Water for me. Dr. Howes would get up like a windmill, buddy, and just cut everybody up. That's what I was born into. But now, no, we don't want him. He's too hard. But, buddy, that's what we need. Number six, I've got to hurry. This is all introduction. But as you think, I'm not kidding. I ought to give you a little heaven in here somewhere, but anyway. Number six. Now look at the patient. There's something unique about this patient. She's been around a long time. But she's, number six, childless. She's childless. But I do not read that about the church at Corinth. She's childless. Well, why are we here? Bless God, we're not here to get 1,400 on buses and get 175 people saved and get 101 baptisms in God's dear name. What are we here for? I want everybody to see my new Cadillac. There ain't two in the parking lot. And they're 1909s. And anybody that darkened their windows like that, you know they're hiding for some reason. Just go on and move your membership to a Southern Baptist church. There's one thing about it, you folks sitting in the back can always tell when he's embarrassed. Buddy, I believe in fundamental haircuts. Now, let me give you the prognosis. I told you just the introduction. Let me give you the prognosis. Verse 10. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Number one, the prognosis. The same leader will cure this problem. The same leader. The same leader. He said, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, Brother Smith, in the academy ought to point to Christ. Everything you do in the college ought to point to Christ. Everything you do in the youth department ought to point to Christ. Everything you do with the buses ought to point to Christ. Everything you do with the nursing home ministry ought to point to Christ. Every bit of it, the same leader. The leader is Jesus, and Jesus gives the marching orders, and we follow him. The same leader. That's why you can't have a deacon board that runs a church. There'll be no deacon board meeting over this message, I guarantee you. There'll be no meeting over what I say behind this book. This whole thing's mine right here, buddy. It's mine. Belongs to God, and God's put me here to watch over it. Those of you getting nervous, we're going to be here for a little bit, so just calm down. Number two, I want you to know something else. He said that you all speak the same thing. Number two, the same message. Not only the same leader, but the same message. Look, a fella came to me, and he took me out to eat, bought me the nicest meal I ever had. And in the middle of that meal, he looked at me, and he said, I want you to know I don't believe soul winning's everything. Fine. So I looked at him, and I said, I knew that because you never went. I said, so what's new? He said, well, I want you to know I disagree with you. I said, so's the devil. He said, well, you're not going to change. I said, not on your life. He said, well, what if I pull out? I said, well, pull out. But if you don't like it, honey, hit the road. If you think I'm going to sacrifice these children that God has given me as a pastor and let me lose these kids because of some of you stinking reprobates that don't want to say the same message and say the same thing, good night. I'm going to preach it anyway. Thank the five of us left. Same message. Number three, the same decision. He said, and that there be no divisions or schisms among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. The same decision. If somebody were to give us some money, and right now, we could, if we had $15,000, how many buses could we buy? 10 buses, 10 new buses with $15,000. If we had $20,000, how much could we buy? About 15 buses. If we had $20,000 right now, we could buy 15 buses just from what we've done in the future, just last year, let's say, what would 15 buses produce in people being saved, would you say? Pardon? 300 a week being saved. How many would we baptize if we added 15 more buses? How many would we baptize in 1 year? Pardon?
5,000.
If somebody were to give us tonight money for a bus, and the first stinking guy that stood up and said, I don't think we ought to buy buses. Buddy, you ought to go join the Methodist Church. That shouldn't be any division. Oh, Brother Smith, he's a troublemaker. These things just come flying through my mind like this. I'm getting old. I'll be 40 in December. He made a rule in the school that the girls couldn't speak. Best things ever happened. My daughter came to me and she said, Daddy, do you think I'm a bad girl? Nah, I said, you're just a gossip. She turned around and walked away and she froze. Huh? No, you just like to talk a lot. And you know what she was trying to do? She was trying to warm up to her daddy so that daddy could get Brother Smith off her back. You say, my junior wouldn't do that. No, but Susie would. Scott was told last year that he couldn't do a certain thing. It was get on a bus and go somewhere. So Brother Smith got in his car and chased the bus down. They did. Pulled the bus over to the side, got on the bus, said, where's Scott Gray? He was back in the baggage. Stuck his head up and he said, come with me. Yanked him off the bus, put him in the car. One kid said, Brother Smith, Brother Smith. Yes, yes, yes. Do you know who that is? Nah, who is it? That's a preacher's kid. You gonna haul him off the bus? Brother Smith didn't even bat an eye. Put the kid in the car and went on back to the schoolhouse. Now, he was laid off for 3 weeks after that. But brother, I want you to know I'm behind you. I want you to know, Brother Gibson, I'm behind you. If you're not looking at me, I'm still behind you. I want you to know, Brother Winters, I'm behind you. A long ways behind you. Number four. I notice it says here, join together in the same mind. Huh. That means they think alike. Huh? That means they think alike. You know, after a while, folks, I've been here going on 6 years. You know, after a while, you ought to start thinking like I think. Do you know that? Hey, listen to me. After a while, folks, you really ought to figure this thing out. I mean, come on. If you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, after a while, you're going to figure out the direction I'm going. I come barging to the office. How'd he become a deacon around here? Well, I want to be a deacon. I looked at him and said, boy, you're a real blessing, I'll tell you. I want to be a deacon. First he gets you, I said. He sent you to my office, you coward. I won't be a deacon. How do you become a deacon around here? I looked at him square in the eye and I said, that way, just what you just said to me, is a way you never become a deacon. And I said, as long as you remember this church, your name never will come up. He said, you can't do it. I said, I just did. Now, don't come trying to push your way in so you can get enough votes to try to change the direction of this church. Because we're going to have a knockdown, drag-out fight. And I'll guarantee you, I know who's going to win. God will win. And then last of all, I want you to notice, you can shout now, last of all, in the same judgment. Or the same way of governing. The handbook, sorry, kids. But it'll be the same way next year. College handbook, sorry. It'll be the same way next year. Parent wrote and said, my son wants to date. I'm giving you parental permission to let my son date alone in a car. I wrote back and said, sorry. But I pastor this church, not you. And if you don't want your little Oswald in this school, take him out and put him in some liberal college somewhere. Because as long as I pastor here, it ain't going to be that way. Because I've seen my last 12-year-old girl give birth to a little baby in a hospital with a dirty bum not anywhere to be found. I've caught my last tear. And I'm going to do everything I can. So, show me. Principal went to preach for me. He said, I got troubles. I said, what is it? He said, well, it's in our handbook that the boys and girls can't hold hands. So last week, they were walking around holding wrists. This really happened. And the idiot principal said to me, well, what can I do? I started to say, boy, we ought to take you out behind the barn, whip you a while. But I said, let me tell you something. What you'd better do is walk up to that kid and grab him by the nape of the collar and pull him up and say, buddy, handbook or no handbook, you're going to do what I say. You understand? You understand? Man, sit still. You'll be all right. Stupid. Dumb. Idiotic. If our nation were to go to war now, we'd have to get most of our men out from underneath those bubble machines and those saloons. So go fight the Russians. Okay. Some of you mamas don't like this kind of preaching, do you? I just look at you and tell. You look like that lady I just described. Well, I've got great dreams. I may never see them fulfilled. But if the disease of schisms ever gets us, it won't be because I didn't fight it. I want us to spend a lifetime raising our children in an atmosphere like this where soul wins everything.